Okay, here we are, October 22nd. We're studying the words of Moroni. We did the verses 1 through 9 last week. We're starting on verse 10 this week. I'll start, I'll read this first verse. Behold, I, Moroni, am the same as I told you before, that if possible, I would make known all things. But I was instructed to seal my father's record. And with it, the record that the Lord asked me to write about what the brother of Jared saw, because the things he has seen are beyond the understanding of the Gentiles until they repent of their iniquity and become pure before the Lord and begin to exercise faith in the Son of God, as did the brother of Jared.
There were two verses from the Book of Mormon that stood out to me that this I think he's referring to. The first is in, and maybe we could put this on the spreadsheet that we've kind of been working on, some scriptural references. When he says that if possible, I would make known all things, that's pointing back to Mormon chapter 8, verse 12, where Moroni said about the Book of Mormon plates, whoso receiveth this record and shall not condemn it because of the imperfections which are in it, the same shall know of greater things than these. Behold, I am Moroni, and were it possible, I would make all things known unto you. Right? So that's what he's referring to on this sealed set. And then further down, it talks about beginning to exercise faith in the Son of God, as did Brother Jared. That's referencing Ether chapter 4, verse 7. And that says, in that day they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother of Jared did, that they may become sanctified in me. Then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw, even to the unfolding unto them all my revelations, saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, and all things that in them are. So even though they weren't footnoted in this specific verse, I know a lot of the verses have really good footnotes. These were two that I just went back and found. I just notated on my own.
Yeah.
It's proof that this is Moroni speaking, right? He's referring back to what he said in at the end of his father's record and in the book of Ether. It's the same guy.
How do you exercise faith? I think it's interesting we talk about faith and I think we understand it. To exercise faith means we step out beyond what we know and move forward in uncomfortable territory sometimes. I was telling Bob before you joined it, I've been looking at the next, well, Mauricio sends me the notes for the lessons, and I go through the English and make a few corrections and so forth. And he's talking about how we've got to buckle down and become a Zion people and accept our requirements. And that requires stepping out in faith, being stepping in uncomfortable areas. Go ahead, Robert.
Joseph Smith Jr., or whoever was the author of this of the lectures on faith, said that faith is a principle of power and action. And so I think that's how you would exercise faith.
By your actions.
Well, and it's the power, you know. I think it's the, is it the first lecture that talks about how faith works and says everything is done by faith. If you didn't have faith, you could do nothing. And it gave a lot of examples.
Yeah.
And that it said faith precedes action. I'd have to go back and repeat it, but I remember those two principles, principle of power and action. And then, of course, that corresponds to what the Bible says, that faith without works, you know, is ineffective or dead. And so it has to involve this action and produce some result, some power, some, because of the because of that faith. I know you have the lectures on faith in the doctrines of the LDS.
Yeah, but we took them out of the Doctrine and Covenants. You guys at least kept them in, apparently.
For a while. They're not there now. But does everyone have access to the seven lectures?
Sure.
Okay, good.
But we have to get them outside. It's not part of our scriptures anymore.
And of course, what they said was the doctrine part of the Doctrine and Covenants.
Exactly.
And those were written at the time of the Kirtland Temple. I think they had, if you've been to the Kirtland Temple, there's in the top story above the second hall,
right?
There's those, I think there's either five, is there like five rooms all divided that you walk through one room to go to the other? It's kind of like an attic rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they had the lectures, or at least the priesthood would study up there according to their quorums. But I believe they taught the school of the prophets was held outside of the temple, but I think it moved to the temple for a while. But I'm not up on that history too much. But that's where they are. And apparently the lectures on faith were so effective that it's accredited with empowering the growth of the church in those early years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reason they took it out. Go ahead.
I saw this podcast this week about, it was an interesting, it was called Political Saints. And it was about saints in general, Catholic saints, but to make the language more easier to and the lives to study. But what really took hold of me was the political side of it, and that we really should, if we are to be saints, our actions should speak louder than our words. And this, I thought, was very interesting. Believing scholars talk about this saint, the being saint-like. So we really have to be the best we can. And action speaks louder than words. Those surrounding us.
Yes.
Yes, and exercising also implies a kind of a, you know, exercise, and then you think of the gym or something. So you have to practice with it, I think, in small things. Like, for instance, I wanted to buy gloves. And I'm like, okay, what kind of... You can go to the shop and then you can look at the gloves. But I was in my head thinking, what kind of gloves do I want? I want blue gloves. And they were there. Just the right color, the color that I wanted.
It's interesting.
So that's, maybe that's a little example of maybe how faith works, that you can imagine how it can be. And it's also, faith is the things not hoped for, that is hoped for, right?
It's first spiritually.
Yeah.
Like what it says in Doctrine and Covenants.
Yeah.
First, we have to
see it in your spiritual eye, maybe. Like the refuge place, you know, the Zion place. Okay, yeah, imagine how would it be like if you would be there, if you would actually live there. What kind of habits would you have there amongst each other, or maybe traditions or something, you know? It's just, yeah. Think about how things can be.
And then grow to that.
Yeah. Yes. So that was my experience with faith this week.
Yay. Who would like to read verses 11 and 12?
I can read.
Okay.
Nevertheless, I was commanded by the Lord to separate into three sets the whole record contained in the plates of Mormon in order to be revealed in three periods of time. The first set is a preparatory appendix of the second, the second of the third. The first serves to constitute an alliance between God and the Gentiles through repentance and constitutes an open record to be given in preparation for the people to understand the greater things when they will be revealed.
I want to check something. That word appendix, I think it would mean something different if we had that. I translated it differently. Actually,
you're looking it up in Portuguese?
Well, yes and no.
Oh.
I started to do that. Then I realized I've already done that in a version of the English that I created.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's easier for me to go there. I don't know. I'm sorry to delay the effort here.
Well, what I love about this verse is the preparatory and the preparation.
Yeah.
You can't tell you. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's what the Portuguese really says, is that first it is a preparatory introduction, not an appendix. Yeah, appendix seems strange wording for at least the English. And so, yeah.
Just feels like we should be enthusiastic about that. It all works together, you know, that we can really appreciate with the timing of the things. People could only understand that.
Yeah, because appendix sounds like it comes last.
Yes.
Yes. Right?
Correct.
Well, it kind of is interesting, of course. Maybe we are reading the book in the wrong order, you know. Well, not the wrong order, because it's not the third part has
sure.
not yet revealed, and the second also not, or half of it. So, but maybe, when we get it all, if we do get it, then we maybe have to start with the last one first, and then
maybe it's a studying thing, maybe of Isaiah, that the end is in the beginning and the beginning and the end and the future,
and also what is in the sealed book. Remember the precedents. No, the
precedents among
precedents.
You.
Precedents.
That we would not remember enough to be qualified to go to the next level.
Yeah, the Portuguese says preparatory appendix. Appendices preparatorio.
Yeah,
so
that seems logic.
Welcome, Brother Mark.
Good day.
Hey.
It's interesting, yes.
And also, for the people to understand the great thing, when they will be revealed. So it's always for a reason, you know, that's so interesting, that God doesn't do things. He doesn't reveal things if he can't use it later on, you know, because it also gives a responsibility, of course. And not everybody can fulfill it, but he thinks about that. That's so interesting here.
We're studying words of Moroni, verses 11 and 12 in the sealed book, just the on the first or second or third page.
Yes, but we have to read the first one because it serves to constitute an alliance
between yeah, God with and the repentance. And
yeah.
So you have to do it first as a people united to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also.
And do we realize that we're not really taking into account what the first one's telling us so that we're prepared for the next one?
Exactly.
But then I think, well, we have the second one.
Yeah, which is
which is kind of a
helping to understand the first.
Yeah,
but we're still not
because we're still. If we would have not had YouTube on television, would have not known about the sealed book, yeah. For instance, you know, among other things. But yeah,
Michael, you want to read verse 13?
Yeah. And if they do not harden their hearts when the second part comes, they will not only know the mysteries of God through the first part, but will receive more, a little here, another little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, until they know the mysteries of God through the revelation of the second part, to the understanding of all things concerning his church in the last days. And then that references Alma chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I've got that reference here. I think it was Alma talking about the mysteries of God under strict command, right? That's the verse. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Verses 9 and 10. And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, it is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under strict command that they shall not impart, only according to the portion of his word which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word, and he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until he knoweth them in full. I think verse 15 talks about that too. I can keep going.
Okay.
The reverse will come to those who possess the first part of the records compiled by my father Mormon in the last days, yea, in the days of the Gentiles, but who will not be willing to meditate upon it in their hearts. So little will avail themselves of the gift superimposed on a promise transcribed by me, Moroni, and which corresponds to the first two parts of my father's writings. Since I have registered these my words as an exhortation before even sealing these records, corresponding to more than one sealed record. Because at no time did I say this record when I mentioned that I would be sealing these records. That's a little confusing to me. I don't know that I fully understood what he's saying here. He's got the two parts of his father's record. Are those two parts? Is that like the Book of Lehi and then the other part that Joseph Smith translated? Or are we talking about the open record that Joseph translated and now this new second part that Mauricio translated? Does anyone understand what he's saying?
Well, it's in Moroni 10, Moroni 10, verse 2, it says, I seal up these records after I have spoken a few words by way of exhortation unto you. And so he's saying that there's more than one sealing, one record he's sealing. He's sealing the second and third part.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that's where he's making distinction. This record, as opposed to these records. In Moroni 10:2, he referred to these records, not just a single. So these plural, this singular.
Right.
That's what distinction here. Okay.
So just like a historical question, if I remember correctly, didn't he seal them up or like he was about to put them away, but then the Lord commanded him to write some more words? like in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I think in Mormon 8 or something. I don't know. Yeah, there is it talks about he got more ore to work with it, or
Yeah. But then
yeah,
I hear
I believe
how much.
he's found himself still alive, and so he finished the book of Moroni, I believe, with all the instructions to the church about baptism and sacrament prayers and et cetera.
So then I wonder, at what time did he write the sealed portion? Was that at that time? Or at what point did he actually sit down and do that? Because they're after the open part of the Book of Mormon.
I believe Mormon compiled all the records, and then Moroni abridged them. And so the records of Moses were available to him that Moroni put on the plates. Weren't the records of Moses on hides originally, scrolls of hides?
Well, they were on the brass plates.
Okay.
That they brought with them. Yeah, they may have been originally on hides, but they were on brass plates by the time Nephi and his family left with them.
I might just say, since we're stopped here, when the eight witnesses from the United States went down to Brazil to witness the opening of the record of the Plates of Mormon, taking the bands off, and of course Mauricio had already removed the bands, so we kind of knew what was inside the 66 plates that are the Book of Mormon, and then the rest of the part was sealed. There was these internal seals, remember, that in order to open that which was beyond the record of Lehi in the Book of Mormon, there's that video where Mauricio takes a pair of pliers or some tool and cuts these internal like rivets to open the portion of plates, the next portion of plates. And they then, of course, at some point they realized, well, that wasn't the entirety of the sealed portion. The RLDS always had the assumption that the sealed portion was just one part, always referred to as the sealed portion. And so there was a bit of a or discussion, well,
I think we
about.
all, well, I think we've all had that assumption.
Yeah, okay. Well, then it come turned out that there's, as Moroni is explaining, there's more than one section to it. Of course, the one that's permanently sealed until Jesus comes. And but then there were the part that Moroni Amriso opened, that's now the sealed Book of Mormon, is the first part of the second part, if you will. And then the second part of the second part is what Mauricio hasn't translated yet. The second part that was opened after the Book of Mormon was 23 plates. And of the 23 plates, the math is written out in the preface. There was what, 16 or 19? Well,
I
part
can
of the
see.
23 plates were, no, there's 23 plates left. Well, the math is written out in the introduction that there was the certain number of plates that were opened by Mauricio. The first section of that is the sealed book, and then there's another remaining number of plates, which will be the next part of the sealed book. It's all confusing. So.
Yeah, I think in the introduction it says 42 plates for Mauricio to translate, of which he's done 19 so far, and there's 23 remaining. Those 23 are the it's the Book of Samuel the Lamanite, or the Prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite, as written by Nephi the disciple. And then the second one is the
portion of John's revelations that's written by the three Nephites when they were caught up to heaven.
I think he said it was one third of those, and then the two thirds of the revelations of John are in this the permanently sealed part, or the remaining sealed part.
Oh, so the one third portion of John's revelations, as written by the three Nephites, that's just the first third part of the 42 plates, and then the second two thirds is in the vision of the brother of Jared.
Yes.
Is
that what you're saying? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's more than just the vision of the brother of Jared. It's the part of the revelations of John. And I also get the impression that there's some writings of Moses in there too. I'd have to go back and research the references, but I.
It's in verse 36 and 37 where it talks about those two after the Acts of the Three Nephites written by Jonah. What else is left? But that portion won't come forth until, I think in the introduction, Moroni told Mauricio that until the saints are living up to the first teachings in what we have right now, then they'll get the second part. But until then, it's to remain sealed.
Yeah.
Yes, now, and I think, oh, yeah, Michael?
I just had a question. Bob mentioned in passing there were 66 plates that Joseph Smith translated. Is that his portion was 66 plates?
That's the number that I recall that Mauricio said, that there was 66 plates, which is the Book of Mormon. And then the 42 is the sealed Book of Mormon when it's all completed. And then the remaining part is still the largest part of the plates. It's two thirds of the plates are left, which Jesus will open. And you can imagine the volume that that would produce if you were to write it out, because I think when Kelvin Henson was the scribe listening to Moroni or Mauricio, and Kelvin was writing it down, Kelvin was writing and writing and writing and. And he said, "Well, how much did you translate?" And Mauricio said, "Oh, about 15 characters." You know, so it's each character is a story in itself, or a phrase, or you know, multiple ideas, or however you would say that. So it's amazing the amount of information contained in those pictograph things, those little characters, those images.
Yeah, as I remember, there's like 11 words per character or something like that. They're on average over that period they were looking at.
Sorry, Belki, I interrupted. You had a comment?
No worries. Yeah. Well, that's why this verse is also so important, I think, because when you talk to people, yeah, the sealed portion, then like LDS people, they talk about, yeah, that's the vision of
Brother Jared.
So it cannot be that. And then you can point them to the Moroni, verse 2, I seal up these records, the plural meaning. I never stood out to me before. You know, that it's more records. So that is so interesting. And it says in a few verses earlier that Joseph Smith had the opened. He didn't have to unseal anything, right? I never heard of that saying in church history that he had to unseal anything. So this is a very important verse, I think, to point out to people that there are more records sealed, and this is one of them.
Yeah, Joseph, there were two bands that were straps across the entire plates. Joseph would have opened those, of course, but no. They're resealable, well, or they're closable.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking the two bands were only on the two sealed portions.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But can I comment on the verse, what number 13? Can I ask Mark a question first?
Yeah.
Mark, have you been privy to any discussions or hearing the term eternal round or eternal circle?
Yeah, like multiple lifetimes.
Okay, well, you've got an LDS background, so that's a subject that has
Scott.
caused
Well,
enough has shook has sh have shaken the faith of a lot of RLDS.
LDS background doesn't give him any clue
Yeah.
either. But okay, well, keep in mind this is a good thing, and Mauricio
Yeah.
is teaching us about it. But the problem is he refers to it quite often, without really fully explaining what he's all the nuances of it. But that's to me, that's one of the meanings of verse 13, where it says, "They will not only know the mysteries of God through the first part." See, that's a really important statement. We've all read the first part, the Book of Mormon. That's when we receive the testimony of the Spirit and power that the whole work is true. We receive testimony that it's true without understanding the mysteries, and that's a key point. We didn't understand everything that we read, but we accepted it in faith or by the power of the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit. And if you had just a similar experience to I had, it was, this was the most profound spiritual experience of my life, reading that Book of Mormon. And that, but I didn't understand these mysteries. But now, in the second part, I'm beginning to understand, going back to the mysteries that are contained in the first part that I never knew were there. A case in point, part of which Mauricio is explaining has explained in certain groups in the church about multiple mortalities or the eternal round. One of the scripture references is in Alma. Alma wrote about it, but we never picked up on it, at least, in my background. And so I think it's an amazing statement that when we begin to open our mind to these mysteries that God's leading us and showing us, we can go back at the first part and really fully understand what we read. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, I
that's
have
great.
so many questions about the whole eternal round situation, like so many. So, but that'll, I don't know how much you know about it.
We've only sat in one class.
Oh,
And
sweet.
so there's a lot to learn. And because I've only sat in one class, I would not try to teach somebody about it.
Yeah, that's
But
fair.
it's more than probably what you ever imagined or different, because it was a mystery.
Yeah.
And it's yet to be fully explained to my understanding. Thank you.
But I find it interesting that many of the Asian cultures have that principle revealed to them, like the Buddhist. It's a really good example of them having their eternal round. But I'm curious, like,
I have a
most
page
people never did.
on my Salem Thoughts page that talks about multiple mortalities. It goes through quite a few different things, showing how Joseph Smith believed that and so forth. I might also reread the quote that I gave in my talk in April conference, where I had to ask Mauricio about it, and he said that, quote, "There are several rumors that I might be Joseph Smith in the eternal circle, but these are just rumors from those who want to believe it. The only thing I endorse is that Joseph Smith's prophetic mantle has been laid upon me, but I don't think that makes me him in this life. Surely he must be on the other side by now," unquote.
So it's maybe similar to someone, right? The mantle of Elisha, or what was it? The mantle of Elias resting
Elijah.
upon.
Yeah, Elijah on Elisha, yeah. Could be.
Have a similar thing. Or coming in the spirit of Elias, one who comes before or prepares, like John the Baptist was for Jesus. I wonder if that's kind of what he means.
Could be.
I think the key point in this whole eternal circle, and I didn't mean to turn the discussion about the eternal circle. I just didn't want to mention something that would shake our brother's faith with not knowing that what we're talking about. I think the key point to understand the eternal circle is finishing the work that was started.
Okay.
Like the work of restoration of 1830 never was finished. It hasn't produced the Zionic city. And so I think to me that's the key point, is to go back and finish that work. Because otherwise God's word can, how could it ever return to him fulfilled?
I think that's the fullness you're referring to now, Brother Robert, of all denominations. That they initiated a good thing and it didn't really come to flourish. I think this is what's happening now. We have to
Learn from our mistakes.
learn some mistake, but also the that we look out to it, that it's gonna happen, you know, that we really learn to grow in belief, like the
Well,
brother, that it's all for a purpose, all the differences, all the empathy for groups of people, also not only the individual. Thank you.
okay. Yes.
And also interesting in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about John the Baptist. And I was at my mother's place, and this was the verse or the chapter that we read. And I'm like, in my mind, like, this is also about the eternal realm, because it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear."
These are the mysteries.
Yes.
We can understand now how beautiful it is, but you personally have to learn too. And it comes, I can testify, I had got the mantle of the father of our bishop. How symbolic is that, you know?
The code, yeah.
The coat, really the coat. And when we were testifying of the sealed book with the bishop, his son, and I knew the favorite scripture of his father, which was Alma 37, verse 37, that counsel the Lord in all you do. And it, I really felt I have been given this mantle, you know, this cloak that is physical, but you have to get used to the idea, Mark, the eternal round, and that it has to do with everything all the time. Remember him always isn't easy per se, but it's worth it. It's not a, what did the missionary say? To be a saint is not a cheap
Experience.
experience. It costs something, you know, and God wants us to know, because he loves us as family, so that we can love together and learn to appreciate the whole plan. And the sacred round is very interesting. It took me some time, and still I'm amazed. So, but believe, and then it, faith precedes a miracle. Then you will see. But first we have to believe, and then it all happening, and then it be too much sometimes. Thank you.
Oh,
So,
one last comment about this verse 14 that we read about the records and record. It is almost the only verse that is the same in RLDS and LDS scripture. Isn't that funny? I love that. Usually there are different verses for RLDS, but this one they agree upon. It's in Moroni 10, verse 2.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes.
Because
almost every verse is different.
Yeah. I want to read this verse 15, and then we'll probably wrap up. Because I wanted to, I'll just read it. And I exhort you again, if God deems it prudent for you to read these records, if you have only the desire to understand the truth about them, and from your heart meditate upon their words, then I exhort you to ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you ask with a sincere heart, with a true intention to know, having faith in Christ, then he will manifest to you the truth of them by the power of the Holy Spirit. For through this Holy Spirit, you may know the truth of all things. Echoing LDS Moroni 10:4 and also RLDS Moroni 10:4 and 5. But I think the thing, the meditating in the heart, you know, meditating is something that we just don't do very often. We want to keep it all intellectual in our thoughts and so forth, instead of letting our heart experience it. And particularly, I think it's interesting, the LDS people that I associate with. I mean, I go to church every Sunday with my wife and so forth, but the LDS people, they don't want to be open to new things. They follow the prophet, they're all satisfied, they're just fine.
And they're scared of the power of the Holy Spirit. They seldom talk about Holy Spirit.
So one thing that I found interesting, I had to leave for just a second, but it's kind of an extension of what you're saying, Russell. Did already receive the Book of Mormon, and in the Book of Mormon is contained everything that we need to make our salvation sure before God. And I think sometimes I forget that. It's like everything that I would ever need to make my calling and election sure and receive the second comforter to secure eternal life is found in that book. And beyond that, we can get more mysteries. And beyond that, we can understand everything that God wants to give us. But I find it so profound that there is that much knowledge that I have never realized was there until the sealed book came around. Which is kind of sad to some degree, because you're like, man, I wish I would have really, really known and understood these things. But it's such, like, when it says that your hearts are really, like, your eyes are darkened, that's literally what it is. When reading the Book of Mormon, at least when I was growing up in the church. So.
May I comment?
First.
It you know, to just following Mark's comment, you know, you asked the question, why does God hide things from us? You know, why does he make them, you know, the gospel is plain and pure and easy to be entreated and the Holy Spirit and so on. And it's but why does God hide some things? Why are things hidden? Why is it the sealed Book of Mormon? And you know the answer to that, it's so important to understand, is that even Moses' people in the time of Moses, when Moses wrote these things, God told Moses that the people were not ready. These should be hid up and sealed up until the end of the fullness of times, to the last days. And the reason is, which I think we'll read here for long, is that if these things had been revealed earlier, they'd been perverted by the precepts of men. and not become ineffective. And so God kept the good stuff, I guess you could say it, the important things for the people to excel or to be successful at fulfilling his word until the very end. Now, if we could count the number of days remaining before the God calls the time, God says this is it, we might be kind of shocked compared to overall history. But he did say there's probably a space of some two or three generations left. And during this time, the people are to become, the next generation is to become righteous and live the principles of the sealed book, that they can build the spiritual temple so that they'll be prepared to build the physical temple for the return of Jesus. And that has to happen in a relatively short time before these principles become perverted. I guess it's kind of the word they used. And so that's why it's kept back. It's not really held back from people. Like you said, people have gained salvation from the days of Adam, but they haven't achieved the building of the holy city, except Enoch did for a while. And the Nephites had their experience, but it's not done in the way that God wants, so that every nation will bow and, well, that's later, but gather the righteous, the tribes from all the gather, what's it go? Righteousness and truth will sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather mine elect from the four quarters of the earth into a place that I shall prepare. That to be successful, it needs these tools. It needs what's written in the sealed book. But in addition to that, what's in the sealed book is not sufficient. They need a living prophet and the revelations. And so you've got the sealed book and those all the profound knowledge in that, but coupled with the revelations and the living prophet, you've got the formula for success. And God preserved it until now just for that reason. And many of the people who have assisted in the work before, that mantle is returned, either, so that this work will be fulfilled and this will be accomplished. And so you may very well be here because God has arranged that you be here. Maybe you've had experiences in the past that, or assisted some way in the past, and work was unfulfilled, but it's to be fulfilled now. I mean, this is big stuff. And okay, I hope I explained that.
Sure, thanks a lot, Bob.
Maybe one little thing about the whole thing about hiding and hidden things. The tender mercy of God revealed themselves through timing. And for me as a musician, to really appreciate a nice composed piece, you always save the best just before the climax. So it's all logical. It's all there. The end is in the beginning, and nothing more to add. Thank you, Brother Robert.
Oh, I have something to add, because looking at these verses, they are not completely the same. Maybe it's I've compared them, and two words stood out. If you compare these verses to the reference, Moroni 10, and it says here, "I exhort you again." That word is missing in the Book of Mormon, and also, if you have the desire to understand, that word is also missing in the Book of Mormon. There are all some other differences, but it's interesting that there are a few words that are not in the Book of Mormon. So,
the heart meditating is not there either.
No, ponder and meditate is also one. And the Book of Mormon uses with real intent, and the sealed book, the true intention to know.
It also reminds of us the Jacob, the first prayer of Joseph Smith. Because if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, will give it to all men liberally and abrade it not, and it shall be given him. And you have to pray with real intent. That's the next verse, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about the feeling combined with the question.
Yes, and also deems it and wisdom and prudence is also different.
Yeah, well, also reminds us to
well, that's then. It's a yeah. Nice challenge to look it up to
sure.
To see. But what's interesting is the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Book of Mormon uses Holy Ghost, and this sealed book uses Holy Spirit.
And I think that's language aspects.
Probably, yes. Yeah. But again, and the desire is what stood out for me the most.
Okay.
There's a verse in Proverbs here that I like. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter.
Yeah.
So you think about it. The Lord, he has different layers of mysteries and hidden things, and it's up to us, you know, the glory of kings and queens.
We still have a king. Yeah, maybe we should think about that in our Netherlands. Yeah.
Great point, Michael, because when you teach people, you can teach them by saying it, but if someone is discovering it by themselves, you internalize it better. So that's also a reason for, you know, for us to
research,
to do research and ponder and meditate and
do it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great scripture, the Proverbs. Yes.
Would it be okay if I just finish in verse 16 real quick? It kind of goes hand in hand with all of this. I don't know if we're stretch for time.
Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass with those who harden their hearts to the second part, when it shall be revealed unto the children of men, that even the knowledge of the first part will be taken away from them, and they will remain attached to the precepts of men. They will honor the Lord with their lips, but they will be far from his ways. They will be convinced of their faith in the first part previously revealed of these records, saying, we have enough, and we are not ready for more scripture. From this will be taken even what little of the knowledge they have, until they have nothing left but their traditions.
And their traditions are so strong.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks a lot for bringing that in, Michael. Let's have our closing song. Let me share my screen. And then Michael will give our closing prayer after the song. Now let me get my other...
You can end the recording as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Oh, goodness. I need to stop share, I guess, to get this...